Good morning. I'd like to bid you all a hearty welcome to this worship service this morning. My name is Jeff Hildebrand. If we have guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well. I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, where it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So as we come to a conclusion of another year, I would say we have been very blessed by God again. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about something that pops up a lot this time of year, and that is New Year's resolutions and what people will say they're going to maybe change in their life or do a little better or have a plan going forward. So I don't really want to address that too much, but that is a common thing that is talked about. But I want to rather encourage repentance. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So before we get started, let us unite with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, we want to thank you so much again that we are privileged and honored to gather here in your house of prayer. We thank you for your continued grace, your mercy, and your love that you've shown us. We thank you again that we've been reminded that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And as we celebrated his birth just these few days ago, we considered obviously him to be the greatest gift the world has ever known. We thank you that we have salvation through him, that there is a plan, and we look forward to his return. And Father, we just ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your leading and guiding this morning. Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth, we ask you bless those speakers and those that are to receive your word. And Father, we also ask that you would place a hedge of protection around this sanctuary, around this facility, Lord, that Satan and his forces would be rebuked at every corner. And Father, that we would receive your word and be blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I'll turn it over to the song leaders.
Take the red book and turn to page 206. "In the Rifted Rock I'm Resting."
In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting. for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee.
194, I know not why.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me ye hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. I know unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves convicting men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. I know unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. I know that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Well, thank you for that singing in that plane. So as I mentioned, we want to look at repentance. And first of all, I guess we need to maybe look at what exactly does that mean and what are we actually repenting of. So I want to go to Proverbs chapter 6, and it's probably a very common passage for us, but in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, it describes certain sins that are considered an abomination to God. And we all know that we all have had sin in our life. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as we reflect on why Jesus came, we understand, at least I hope we do, that he came to seek and save those that are lost, and that we can have a personal relationship with him, and thus we can be saved and enter into eternal life forever and ever. So beginning at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." So those are seven things that God considers an abomination. And maybe we need to look at this and say, is there any one of those in our life today? And we look at these things and we talk about a proud look, so that's arrogance. Are we an arrogant people? One thing that caught my attention was a lying tongue. Do we lie? And I would say in that, when we talk about lying, well, it's simply not telling the truth, but it's also, it branches off into different scenarios, and one of them is gossip. So are we a person like that? Hands that shed innocent blood. And I often think about that as we look at our government and we look at them allowing abortion in our nation. Those children are perfectly innocent. And I mean, there's other examples of it, but that's just one that comes to my mind. And a heart that devises wicked imaginations. You see so much evil that people create. And feet that be swift to running to mischief. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory when they create troubles. A false witness that speaks lies. So two times we look at this, a lying tongue, and a false witness that speaks lies. So those essentially are almost the same thing. But I think we need to take a good hard look at that if it's mentioned twice. So are we a people like that? And finally, he that soweth discord among brethren. So that's being disruptive in the church. And so we ask, are we a people like that? So those are seven things we need to address. And as we think about those things and as we go through this morning, let's make sure we're not those people. As I mentioned in my opening, we talk about having New Year's resolutions. In other words, we use that word, and I believe it comes from the word resolve. So when we resolve to change up our approach to certain things, we're going to do things differently. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong, I don't think, with that. But however, repentance supersedes that or is far more important than a resolution. So when we look at what God teaches us, I want to look in the book of Acts. So let's turn to Acts chapter 3. So in Acts chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 17. And it reads as follows: "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God hath shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before you was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution in all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. I wanted to focus on verse 19 because it talks about repentance. And it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So if we are living a sinful life and we're living what was described in Proverbs, we need to understand those things have to be blotted out. So how does that happen? We need to repent. What does that mean? That means we have to bring those things to God and ask for forgiveness. So as we move forward into the new year, I would hope that all of us are willing to do that if we haven't already. Make that a priority in your life. When you recognize that you have sinned, ask God for forgiveness. I believe that is, and I think we all do, that is so very important. We need to be converted. And that is just a change of our lifestyle, our thought process, and how we carry things out. You know, sometimes in life as you grow and you mature, things of your youth have changed. So I will go back a little bit to when I was a young man, and I would get so frustrated and so angry at certain things. I didn't have patience. And as we get a little older, we understand that, you know what? Some of the things that we were getting frustrated and angry about really don't mean a whole lot. And that's part of being converted. And that process, for some of us, takes a bit of time. And for some of us, it's very quick. But being converted is, again, it's part of a mindset, and it's what's in your heart. When we have the mindset we want to change, and we want to live for Jesus Christ, then all of a sudden we seem to have a little more patience. And we might have a little more understanding of what people are going through in their life. You know, I was leaving work the other day, and as my coworker was driving, we were discussing about people's, she was sharing with me the challenge of how some people drive and the frustration. But then she went on to explain, she said, but we really don't know that person's situation, do we? Maybe they're a little older and they can't see quite as far in front and they have to drive a little slower. Maybe they're not feeling well. And she listed a whole bunch of things. And she's a young woman, she's 26 years old or so. And I went, you know, that's pretty interesting as I thought about that, because here's this young person realizing and understanding that sometimes we need to be a little more patient. And this young person was starting to see that. And it is that way in life, isn't it? We need to be a little more patient with one another. And sometimes it can be difficult, but I would say that it doesn't have to be that difficult if we have been converted. If we've really changed, then some of these things are far easier for us to overlook and try to understand. So as we move forward in our journey in life, let's be patient, and let's be kind. Let's be kind-hearted. Let's show the love of Christ to people in whatever we're doing. And I want to go back to the chapter 2 of the book of Acts. So let's just go back to chapter 2, beginning at verse 36. And it reads as follows. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And Peter said unto the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this is the promise unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So what is happening here? What are we seeing happening? We look at this, and Peter is telling the people, you need to repent, and from what? For the remission of your sins. You've got to repent of your sin. That is the first and foremost plan we have. That is one thing we have to do. And who's this promise to, of the gift of the Holy Spirit? It's for believers, and it goes on to say, also to your children. So we need to instill the truth of Jesus Christ into our children. So this will carry on from generation to generation. Verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. And look what happened. So they are warned. The people were warned there, and Peter's telling them, You've got to have a different plan of action. Don't follow the world. So when we go back to the title of this year's, or of today's message, when we talk about resolutions, that's what the world talks about. So let's look at this and say, okay, if the world talks about resolutions, and we want to talk about repentance, it's a different mindset. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So what an amazing day. And then look what happened. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So they were having communion. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. I wonder how that would look today if we would be able to look from heaven's point of view at the world and the Church of Jesus Christ. How would that look? Would we actually be a church, a body of believers that is repentant, that is forgiving, and that is demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ to the world? I hope that that's what it looks like. I hope every one of us is in that vision of God, that all of us, when God looks down at all of us here today, that is what he sees, that we are people that are going to follow Jesus Christ. No matter what the world says, we will follow Christ. So before we go over to the second portion of the service this morning, I want to remind us to make sure that we are following Jesus Christ and him alone. Remember, he is our Lord and Savior. He is the King, and he needs all honor and glory and praise. So with that, for all of you that are willing and able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
From the Blue Book, number 96, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Number 96, for those that are able, please stand.
Savior made me whole.
I want to thank you again for that singing and playing, and having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. So let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 4. And I'd like to begin at verse 12. So Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So if Jesus is telling us to repent, it's obviously very, very important. But I want to go back a couple of verses here, and well, mostly to verse 16. And look who it talks about. It talks about people sitting in darkness. So that is really what that means, is to the unbelieving people of the world. So our mandate from Jesus before he went to heaven was to go and preach the gospel throughout the entire world. And if we look at social media and an influx of people going out and preaching in the world, almost it's very close to almost all the nations, all the people will have heard the word of God. It's getting really, really close. So that is an amazing event. And that opportunity is going to be opened before Christ returns, people will know who he is. They will have that opportunity. And we're really close to having that fulfilled. But when we look at what it has done, when we look at verse 16, when they sat in darkness, they saw a great light. And that great light is Jesus Christ. And this is essentially the eye-opening experience that people have when Jesus comes into their life. Some of you may have been in a family that was always taught about the Word of God. And this is nothing new to you. You've heard it over and over again. But there might be someone here either today or somebody that's watching or listening that this is all brand new. And that's how it'll continue. Somebody needs to know that they need to repent and have a personal relationship with Jesus. And today's that day. I want to encourage you to make sure that today's the day that you repent and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He has brought this great light into the world. We know that there is this dark side to the world. We know that Satan is trying to deceive as many as he can, and he's trying to deceive the nations. He's out there. But we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is shedding the light. Follow the true light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to step back into Matthew chapter 3. We'll start at the first verse, and here it's about John the Baptist. Here is our essentially the first experience of a new way of teaching to the world. So in the Old Testament, the scribes, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they would They would preach the Old Testament, and they taught the law. Look what happens as we discover a part of John's life. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So now he's telling the people about repentance. It's a different message. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." We touched on that earlier. We have to confess our sin. Verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come unto his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance.'" In other words, we need to do things that are suitable for repentance. "And think not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also is the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So that is why we repent. We change our life, and we change it to Jesus Christ. We invite him into our life so that we do bring forth good fruit. If we do not bring forth good fruit, the Bible here says it'll be cast into fire. Verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." So this is John saying this to the people. This is what I'm doing. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. "But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So that is John's description of Jesus who is coming. Now, Jesus was already born, but he was going to come and baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire, a true change. And that is exactly what we, like when I read earlier in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 17, Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." So he's describing himself to the world. And he was there now, and he was going to do what he needed to do. And what was his mandate from God? He would go out, he would preach, and then he would die for our sins. And that's exactly what he did. So the decision is left to you and I whether we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And again, my hope and prayer is that each one of us does. Before I move on, I just want to talk a little bit about verse 12, where it talks about that Christ will purge the floor. So he is going to get rid of the chaff, so the unbeliever, and that will be cast into an unquenchable fire. You don't want to be part of that. You want to be the people that God recognizes, that Jesus Christ recognizes as a repentant people, and that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So for some of us, as I started this morning in Proverbs chapter 6, Some of us might need to do some fine-tuning and change some of the things we are doing today. And we need to repent of those things. And then we don't do them anymore. So as we consider where we are at in our lives, we need to understand how important our relationship is with Christ. There's nothing that should get in our way of our relationship with Jesus. And yet, so many times we get caught up in worldly things. I want to turn to the book of 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, I want to turn to chapter 3. I want to start at verse 8, and we'll read till verse 10. So 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as is one day. And here is how I understand this passage. So this is my interpretation of this verse. Some of you that are wiser than I, maybe there's something I'm missing, or maybe you have something else that you think this is, but here's what I think this is, and what I believe this is God doesn't really look at a watch. He doesn't really look at time like we do. That's how I feel about this verse. Then it goes on to say this, and that's why these two verses are very tied together. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's desire, that everyone comes to repent and change their life. Now, when we look at when Jesus was born, and now he has died, he's gone to heaven to prepare a place for us, and we look at that time frame and say it's been so very long, and we go back to verse 8, well, really, to God, it has not been that long. But to us as human beings, it's been a long time because generation after generation have passed away. But in verse 9, it describes possibly why. Because he is long-suffering toward us. In other words, he's patient with us. And why? Because he wants everyone to come to have a personal relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So it's good. At some point, the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, when people don't expect it. They don't expect it. So how can we make sure we're ready? It goes back to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether we have repented of our sin. Whether we are true followers of Jesus. So make sure you're in that category of people. You and I need to make sure we're there. If this message of salvation and repentance is for all of us, from up here down to the back pew, to the sound men, to anybody that's here today. That message is the same from Jesus. He wants a relationship with you. God does not change. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. You and I are the ones that need to make change. And the best way we can do this is having that personal relationship with Jesus. So where are you at with your in your walk? How important is Jesus Christ in your life? I hope that he is the most important person in your life. He is going to be coming, and we've said this now for maybe many years already, but you think about this last year. So January 1st of 2023. And now here we are, December 31st. Almost a full year. Tomorrow is a brand new start of a year. For how many of us did that go by really fast? I think probably for most of us. And as you get a little older, it probably goes by a little quicker, doesn't it? And that's how I have felt when I've watched my children, you know, I used to hold them in my arms and they needed me as a dad and they needed their mother to take care of them. And now they're grown adults. And where did that time go? My oldest daughter, she's like 29. And it's like, what happened? It's amazing how time just flies by. And I think you can all agree that we look at what's going on around the world and we see all these events and all these things that the Scripture says will happen. They're unfolding right in front of our eyes. Jesus has to be returning soon. But what does that look like to God? I don't know. Is that today? No idea. Is that 10 years from now? I don't know. But in God's eyes, it's going to be a very short time. I believe it to be a short time, but that doesn't mean I'm right. The best thing we can do is make sure we're ready to go home. So we need to repent. The final verse I want to look at, or the final couple of verses, is in the book of 1 John, which is my favorite book of the Bible. So in 1 John chapter 1, I love the promise we are given. So let's turn to verse 8, and we'll conclude at verse 10, which is the end of the chapter. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So it's pointed out to us very clearly that we have sin in our life. Verse 9, here's the promise. If we confess our sins, so we need to confess our sin. That's very simple. He is faithful, and this is talking about God, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the promise that God leaves us. That is what he will do if we confess our sins. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. In other words, we don't even have a relationship with God if we deny that we are sinners. So maybe that is one thing we all need to start our prayers with. Telling God, I mean, he knows it, but telling him, we know that we're sinners. And then we ask for forgiveness. And then my encouragement to all of us is let's do a whole lot better. Let's do a whole lot better in the forgiving. Because we are in a world that is seemingly pulling away from forgiving. And if we want to be the light of the world, we need to forgive. So, in conclusion, repent. Please make sure you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sin. Confess your sin. And you will be saved. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning's worship service, again, we thank you and we praise you for each one that has come this morning. Lord, we ask that as we looked into your word, as we look at Scripture, We know that your word will not ever go out void. And Father, if there was someone here today or listening or watching that needs you in their life, may you prick their heart and may they receive you as their personal Lord and Savior and become part of your kingdom. And Father, as good stewards of your word, we ask that you empower us with your Holy Spirit, that we would do what is right in your sight. And by doing those things, we would draw other people, and that you would, and you alone would receive all the honor and glory and praise. We thank you for the blessing of church family. We thank you for friends and neighbors. We thank you for our immediate families. And Lord, we just ask again that you would watch over us and keep us and give us strength again to live a life that would be well-pleasing in your sight. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I want to give you another opportunity for some time in prayer and just remind you that you can pray wherever you are at and for whatever is upon your heart this morning. So with that, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Let's take the blue book and turn to number 29, since Jesus came into my heart. Number
floods of joy, you're my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. There's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of the city beyond I can see, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell.
Morning. The note here from WorldServe Ministries says, WorldServe Ministries is thrilled to extend a warm invitation to you for a special evening on January 5th at 7 p.m. We have the privilege of hosting Sam Techley, a dedicated missionary who will be sharing his recent transformative experiences and his insights from his mission work in Ethiopia. Coffee and dessert will be available, and that'll be in the Plum Coulee Center on Main Street. And just a reminder that the fellowship meal for today is still on, so you're all welcome to come back for that. And for anyone that's contemplating baptism, classes will be starting on January 9th at 7:30. And for tomorrow, there will be one 10 a.m. service, and there will be a short program to follow. Thank you.
Well, thank you for those announcements. On behalf of my wife and family, we want to wish you all a very blessed new year. May God richly bless each and every one of you. Let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may now go with the peace of the Lord.